Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
But Lord, there's something you want us to gain that will allow our souls to prosper like you desire for them to prosper. Lord, we've been talking about this in various ways, but Lord, there's something that you're going to infuse in people that salvation will come, healing will come, deliverance will come in the name of Jesus today. And Lord, before we leave this place, we will be rejoicing in all the things that you've done. Holy Spirit, you have the right of way to do whatever you want to do, and we thank you and we praise you for all these things. In Jesus' name, everybody shout out, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Very quickly, I want to say these thoughts. The person that we are becoming as a result of our surrender to Christ is a direct reflection of his character in our soul's transformation. As we're being transformed from day to day, from situation to situation, God, we become a greater image or reflection of who Jesus Christ is. The person we are presently will not change until we allow the Holy Spirit unlimited access to our soul. If you ever take the time to go through the New Testament, it's amazing to see how many times you hear the word soul mentioned. You talk about salvation, but soul is a key thing. Here's three questions I want to ask you. First one is this. If there were one thing you could identify that is difficult for you to let go of, what would it be? We talked about donuts last week. You know, what I'm talking about, just really of the things that you know that's holding you back. You can contemplate that for a moment because I need to move quickly. Secondly, are you presently operating in the grace that was given you, that's being extended to others? In other words, you're gracious to yourself. Are you extending that same grace to others? You say, well, I'm really not what I should be, and you know, I'm not all. But are you extending that grace to others, or are you rendering of living by two standards? You live by one standard, but everybody else got to live by a whole different one. Oh, work with that one. Number three. Does peace have the right of way to rule and reign in your soul? In other words, like I was stirred up this morning, and God stirred in my soul, the person that I was. And it was to do something. And it was to share some things with you that peace could reign in my heart again. It's not like I'm just totally peaceful at this point. There's something that God wants to do before we leave this room. And I won't be satisfied until everything that God wants to accomplish is done today. Well, into the story we've been following through, Joseph needed more time for his soul to be prepared for the prosperity that God had in mind. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 41, verses 1 through 4 and verses 9 through 16. Here we go. Then it came to pass that at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream. And behold, he stood by the river, and suddenly there came out of the river 7 cows, fine-looking and fat, and they fed in the meadow. Then behold, 7 other cows came up after them out of the river, ugly, gaunt, and stood by the other cows on the bank of the river. And the ugly and gaunt cows ate up the 7 fine looking and fat cows, so Pharaoh awoke. Let's stop here with a dream. Oftentimes, and this story obviously has some significance to it because it changes the whole course of the people of God. But the idea behind it was that God can speak to us in different ways, and even though that Pharaoh wasn't a God server, God will give us dreams and give us things of possibilities of things he may be doing in the future. And so this thing comes about. Now let's go into our next scripture, set of scriptures there in 41. Then the chief butler spoke to Pharaoh saying, I remember my faults this day. When the Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, and both me and the chief baker, we each had a dream in one night. He and I, each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. Now, there was a young man, a young Hebrew with us there, a servant of the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each, he interpreted according to his own dream, and it came to pass just as he interpreted for us, so it happened. He restored me to my office, and he hanged him. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him out of the dungeon. He was shaved and changed his clothing and came to Pharaoh. And the Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that you can understand a dream to interpret it. Now hang on to this. So Joseph answered in saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Point to yourself like this. It's not in me. God's got the answer. Something powerful is going to be loosed in this place today. Because we're going to get over ourselves and let God be God. Well, to go up, we must go down to the core of our being. Some people are climbing the ladder to success and only get to the top saying, is this what I've been climbing for? Is this all there is to it? Well, God will test the integrity of our inner foundation, actually our soul. And the salvation of the soul occurs when we get to the place in our spirit where we are honest with God and ourselves of what really affects us. He said, oh, that doesn't really bother me. You're lying. You know good and well it does bother you. It doesn't bother me when people overlook me or when people say things against me. I got tough skin. No, you don't. I'm going to tell the truth today. Because some of you are sitting here in church and have been in church all your lives and you have the same issues you had when you got saved. There's something wrong with that. The Bible says from glory to glory we should be changing. There's some things you need to get over and you need to get over them today. Because it's hindering you being all that God wants you to be. Somebody say amen. Am I preaching to nobody? And God has been working me over on these issues. He says, mm-mm. He says, you've been saved for Lord knows how many. Well, he Lord knows how many years. But there's things that need to change. Only when we are willing to be honest with ourselves and with God about why we make the choices that we make will we find true salvation for our souls. We talked about all the people we blame, but honesty is what has to come to the table today to sort through all the stuff we're going through. Well, truly God does know how much we can bear, and the story of Joseph is, last week we talked a little bit about him, and he's, you know, he has these dreams and this type of stuff, and he says, now you guys, when you get before the Pharaoh, remember me. And the Bible, as we start off today, and they forgot about him for 2 more years. Waiting is hard. I said waiting is hard. See, the rest of you are in denial. Oh, I'm okay with waiting. No, you're not. You should be amening all over the place. When we come to the place, but he will do what is best to bring us into a place where we can prosper. And it was necessary for 2 more years to pass. You're thinking, well, wait a minute. You know, the devil gave him those 2 more years. Really? You better read scripture and see what it says. The infrastructure of our life must be anchored in the word of God. Prayer is the key to our soul survival. When everything's falling apart around you, you still have prayer and you can have a conversation with God and he'll bring you comfort and assurance that he's still with you. Oh, come on. Our faith will be tested when our soul desires to be faithful to God. And the reason why Joseph's in jail is because he chose to be faithful to God. Some of the things you're going through are because you chose to be faithful to God. The other things you're in trouble for, they're your fault. Don't get them confused. Because some of the things are, oh, it's because I'm faithful to God. No, it's not. It's because you're stupid. Or you made bad choices. And today God wants to heal you from that so you can be in his purposes. And he'll say, but the reason why I have you here is there's something I want to accomplish in you. Be faithful unto death and I'll give you a crown of life. But do it while you're down here. Well, he goes on a little bit further. He says, God knew what he was doing when he did not fulfill the prophecies about Joseph when he was 17. I talked about this before, but I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that. Our soul survival is dependent on our willingness to wait on the Lord. That's one piece. But the other one is, we have much to learn about how we share things that God has given to us. I told you about the fact that Joseph was a blabbermouth. He was. And he was arrogant, and he was proud. He said, wait a minute. How can you say that? Because it's true. Just because someone gives you something, and your dad just, and everybody knew you're the favorite child, and you pretend like Joseph didn't know. He knew this. And so what God has to do to refine our character is that even when somebody else is off kilter, we have to really be able to see God through all this stuff. The benefits we get and realize it ain't about you. We must realize that we have an enemy. We have enemies that do not want our soul to prosper. Every person in this room, myself included, has an enemy. And sometimes the enemies, when I say an enemy, the enemy can use anyone against you. Oh, you are not going to like this. Sometimes he can use the person you married. Say the wrong thing and you are sideways, upside down. You heard it all wrong. And he said, I don't know why I married you anyway. You won't tell her that or him that. But it's in your mind. Because things get twisted. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit to decipher all this stuff we're going through. Well, Joseph needed to learn practical skills about relating to his audience. You're going to love this. When he goes out and when he actually got put into prison or actually thrown in the pit, this is one of his mistakes. First of all, he never should have delivered the message to his brothers in the coat that his daddy gave him. Put on some dungarees, some overalls like everybody else. He didn't learn the ability that sometimes we just want to flaunt our success. My friend Steve Kinney, some of you know him, very few probably at this point. Well, there was a saying we used to have. It was called, come in low. Some of you won't even catch the clue. Come in low. What does that mean? Do I need to get lower shoes? No, honey. A lower ego. Wait for someone to acknowledge you instead of just coming blasting out everything you want. Well, you know, all of my accomplishments. And when I did my thesis on such and such, and we just tell everything that we don't even want to care. We don't care. It's more than TMI. It's just boasting and arrogance and this type of thing. Come in low. Some of the most profound, I remember I was at a pastor's meeting several months ago. This gentleman was joining our group. And he was just talking about different things, experiences, yeah, just very minutely. And so finally someone asked him, what do you do? He says, oh, I'm the president of Multnomah University. The guy has more PhDs than I have telephone numbers in my life. But he came in low. And the most humble thing, is he a brainiac? But you know something? When God's giving you something, you don't have to flaunt it. He gave it to you to serve other people, not for it to serve you. That's a good amen spot. Well, Joseph was full of himself, needed to be emptied. And this emptying process, are you ready for this? Took 13 years. And the 2 years that were when he's about ready to be delivered from this were tacked on to the 11 before that when he was kind of in prison. Also, he's saying, 13 years? That's a long time. It might have been shortened if he hadn't tried to buy his way out. I don't know. Well, in order for our souls to prosper, we must apply practical wisdom. 3 John, verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things, be in health, just as your soul prospers. In other words, you really aren't prospering until your soul prospers. I don't care how much money you have, how much influence you have, if your soul is anemic and not prospering, you have not prospered in any way, shape, or form. Prosperity is not determined on what is in your bank account right now. or your 401k or your retirement or all your accumulations at this point. Well, I can do so much for the kingdom. God don't need you to do nothing for nothing, nobody. Because when your soul prospers, there's a generosity aspect that you cannot control yourself. That whatever God says to do, you'll be more than willing to do it. Here's a few things you must learn quickly. And I'm just going to run through these quickly because I want to move on to the next part. First of all, we must develop a superior work ethic in all things. Some of you are ready to take a snooze right here. My union covers me. I'm going to move on. Number two, we must apply wisdom to our speech. The Holy Ghost wants to be a filter over your mouth. And I know there are times, and I've done it, when before I even said it, the Holy Ghost said, don't say that. And some said, I need to say it. You know that need part of the game? I need to straighten them out. Okay. How's it working for you? Number three, we must be a problem solver who looks for godly solutions. Did I hear the word godly there? That means that things that can go through the... If you want to learn how to solve problems the right way, look at what Jesus did. Not only did he come in low on various situations, but he assessed the situation. Lady's coming to the well, you know. He asked the lady to give him a drink of water. Now, he knows by the way this woman is dressed that she's a Samaritan. But he says, I'm not going to let her ethnicity intimidate what she really, truly needs. She needs living water. Do not let a person's looks intimidate you from what God really wants to do in their life. How they're dressed, how they seem to be presenting themselves. Because I've had some of the most rough and tough, tumbled people in my entire life. I don't know whether I told this group or not. I remember one time God sent me down to 3rd Avenue to go into a bar, and I just about passed out. Because I don't drink, smoke, or chew, or run with those who do. Now, if you want to have a little wine, a little whatever, I don't care. But that was my proclivity was, you just don't do to go to those type of places. But there was somebody in there that God wanted me to meet that lead to Jesus. And I had to let go of my religious spirit to do what God wanted me to do. Oh, I'm getting there now. Never darken the doorway of those horrible places like that. And you will never have a soul that will prosper. Because God, if the Holy Spirit is in you, what does the Bible say? Greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. If you doubt that and you can't go in there, there's something wrong with your Holy Ghost. Let me move on. Here we go. Number four, we must be a team player who believes everyone has something to contribute that is significant. Everybody's got something. Every person that walks in this room today, God has got something empowering your life that we need, and we want to encourage you in your gift. Number five, we must be a mature spiritually, emotionally, intellectually, and socially. Now, that word intellectually is going to make some people mad. What do you mean intellectually? It's not about intellectualism. Did I say that? But I think God wants us to grow in every aspect of our life. And I read the word, and I don't say this arrogantly, but and love to listen to good teachings as far as that's concerned. But there's also some things I need to learn about life. I don't know how it works, and I don't care how it works. Really? You're going to be taken on some long rides where you didn't want to go. Some of you are naive. I used the word naive. I didn't call you stupid. Naive. And the reason why you're naive is because you don't read. Now, I know everything on the internet's not right, but everything is on the internet is not demonic. So let me move on. Okay. We must be ready to confront the hardship and challenges in our lives in the... And challenges in our lives and those around us. I think that's pretty self-explanatory. Number seven, we must be willing to embrace greater responsibility that take us out of our comfort zone. put a little square there, you step in it. This is all I do. This is the limit. This is all that I, just respect me for who I am. We're supposed to be growing in the grace and the knowledge thereof. Every day we have an opportunity to grow in Jesus. And I believe that that means that God says, I want to speak some things in your spirit that's going to make you a commanding force in the lives of many other people. Number eight, we must be a person that God can trust. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your hearts and lean not to your own understanding. Can I take that back to you to say this part, that God is looking for people he can trust? Are you a trustworthy man or woman? He's given you all the grace there is. He's given you the Holy Spirit. Now, can your life be mirrored around those things? Number nine goes like this. We must be willing to make permanent changes in our lives without regret. Becoming a believer, and then to some point say, everything since I got saved, my life's gotten worse. Really? I got a word from you. The devil will take you back. Ooh, that was cruel. It's the truth. Because you keep that attitude, I'll tell you whose camp you'll be in shortly. And he held a spot for you. But God has something totally different for us. The changes that you've made in your life, I should say, you've allowed the Holy Spirit to make, those changes should be permanent changes. He who puts his hand to the plow and looks back, what does the Bible say? Is not fit for the kingdom. There's a scripture that says, remember Lot's wife. God is delivering them out of burning Sodom. And the word that came to Lot and his family says, as you're leaving Sodom and going to freedom, don't look back. Now, he didn't tell them what's going to happen. But I think don't look back should have been enough. And I'm sure Lot's wife, she says, you know, she got to thinking, you know, Sodom was bad. It wasn't that bad. And I just wonder how Myrtle's doing. Osophralia, Samantha, whatever her name was, Joberta, Shalanda, Monique, whatever. So she says, let me just throw my head back there and take a look. Hot out, chapunga. She has now become a pillar of salt. Lot was smart. Even though he didn't hear her footsteps behind him, he remembered, he said, No. Baby girl may be back there, but she back there on her own. I'm on my way to where God said we're going. I'm telling you, don't let anybody cause you to turn around, miss your blessing, miss your anointing. Keep going the way God's taking you. It's not worth it. When God says don't look back, don't look back. Those changes are permanent. Now, here we go. Let's bring it up to 2015. You may now keep an ounce of wacky tobacco and puff your way into insanity. And so, ain't nothing wrong with this now. This is legal. I can do this anytime I want to. Really? Can you run that through Jesus and say, Jesus, can I light up today? I'm getting visions and revelations. Let me tell you something, you high, and it ain't on Jesus. Jesus plus anything is heresy. Did you hear what I said? Jesus plus anything is heresy. He don't need nothing else. Jesus all by himself. Oh, I'm trying. Yes. Last one. We must realize the gate of change can only be opened from the inside. Let me just give you a picture, and you can check me out on this. Many of you have seen the picture of Jesus going to the door and knocking. Take a look at that picture. There is no handle on the outside. Check it out. Go on the internet. There's no latch. There's no handle of any kind on the outside. The handle is on the inside. That same principle applies to this, that we must realize that the gate of change is on the inside. Jesus is not going to break down and say, give me that stuff. Take me to your closet right now. Open that closet and get all this junk out of here. That's your job. Ooh, I'm feeling Jesus right now. Well, in order for Joseph to move forward in his life, he had to forget about all the time that he felt abandoned. This is my prescription for you today. As his life's about to change, the Bible says, that we read this over in Colossians, it says, when we put on love, which is a bond of perfection, called maturity, we will allow our soul to prosper and give life to others. That's what Joseph was learning back then. He had to let go of all the things that had hindered him. The life of Jesus comes from within when we feed and nurture and discipline our souls. What does that mean? Well, this is kind of a silly illustration. But the soul is the engine to our spirit. It's the engine to our life. Here's an example of that. If you have a car with a bad engine, will you take it to Mako to get it painted? The engine's bad, pistons are flying out there, but I'm gonna put a paint job on this. I'm gonna trick it out. I'm gonna put new wheels on here. Man, I'm gonna have me a ride. You ain't going nowhere. You ain't going nowhere. But you got a bad looking ride. You know what I'm talking about, Pete. Ain't going nowhere. You go to the auction, you see the car looks just cherried out as far as that's concerned. And you start to hear the engine go bang, 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 this type of thing. He said, well, I'm going to buy it. That looks good. That really, really looks good. I got somebody going to join me here. Come on. Little fellow, he wants to help me preach. Oh, praise the Lord. Okay. You never know. He could be a prophet. Here we go. But here's the deal. That's insanity. But that's what we do when we try to dress up the outside of our life and we're not worried about the engine. The soul is the engine of your destiny. And if it ain't going nowhere, you ain't going nowhere. Let that marinate for just a moment. Character will give you your life new meaning and impact the lives of others. We must rely on the Holy Spirit for daily and routine maintenance. There's a story about this lately. It's not a story, it's a reality. I used to work at on the corner of 7th and Knott. We had a mobile station there. My dad owned it. And there was this lady that she came in to get her car serviced. She went out, the oil changed. It was a 1956 Chevrolet Bel Air. Beautiful on the outside. So it was 1956. She brought it into us in 1961. The oil had never been changed. Can we say never? Never. And those of you who know anything about automobiles, it had a Purolator P141 filter. Kind of fits in the can, stick it in the can, screw it up on the car, this type of thing. And that's the filter. Oil had never been changed. She just added oil to it as she needed, this type of thing. First of all, getting the filter can off of there was a trial. I broke two wrenches trying to get off of there. Finally got it off of there after 3 hours worth of work, and it's a metal container, And it was so compacted in there that you could not get the filter out with a chisel. So my dad, with his, he did some pretty wild things anyway. He took it back in the back part of the lot. Never should have done this. Gets out a blowtorch. Lights the thing on fire to get it out of there. Okay. Finally get it out of there. Put a new filter in there. Get a new bolt for the type. Then put it on the car. Put new oil in there. Start that thing up. Huge volume of smoke comes out. And all that gunk comes out of there. All these... Now, I wasn't doing that before. Oh, now. Because clean it in there. All the places that were once caked up as far as... It wouldn't run. And she tried to tell me I broke her engine. No, I didn't. When she didn't do maintenance on it, she broke it a long time ago. It just didn't show up until somebody finally attended to it. A lot of you are sitting here that are doing things you've done over and over again, and one day you're going to have to deal with it, and I'll tell you what, you're going to find out it's been broken for a long, long time. I know that's marinating. I can tell. Well, because you're new meeting, prayer will often... We must pay attention to those engine warning lights of our soul. I got one more story. I have a relative. I'll let her remain anonymous. At least you know it's a her, but I got a lot of hers in my family, so it's okay. She's driving along. She was going to Mount Hood Community College, and she was coming in, and she was on her way in, and the engine light came on. And she says, oh, the engine light came in my car. What should I do? I said, probably it needs some oil. Well, I can't put any oil in it. I don't get paid till Friday, and it's Tuesday. Borrow the money, do whatever, but it's going to need some. Oh, no, it'll be fine. You know what happened, don't you? When did you get the call? I'm on 84. That thing blew up. But you know what? She did the same thing 2 years later. Do you think people learn from their mistakes? Not always. We can, and some of us will repeat the same cycle over and over and over again. Now, we keep the car business, you know, they love it. Send you another car, it's all cool. Well, let me move toward the finish here. Prayer will often bring us to a place to stop and evaluate and make course corrections in order to make our lives profitable for the kingdom's sake. And we're going to get a chance to do that in just a few moments. We must be willing to let go of the things that we thought were unfair and hindered us along our journey. Here's the deal. Joseph's deliverance was quicker than he probably thought it would be. But it's amazing that it comes at a time when maybe we're not even expecting it. So, the part that I love about that particular scripture is the guy that had totally forgotten about him. You know, it's all of a sudden, it's like the Holy Spirit quickens his memory. And he's in verse 9, it says this, and the chief butler spoke to the Pharaoh and said, I remember my faults this day. There's two ways to take that. Some of you say, well, it's about time. How come it took you so long? God uses everything to work together for your good. Even the things you think people have forgotten about, they'll say, well, you know, today I need to give you a call, or today I know I should have given you the call, but you know, isn't it amazing? The day they finally remember to call you is the day you need it the most. Forget about all the times they didn't call you. Thank God for the day that they did. So get over this stuff of being all bitter and mean at folks. Well, I could have used this help a long time ago. Are you too late now? Will you get over your pride and say, thank you? Can you say thank you? Because that's what needs to happen. Well, Joseph took time to look his very best so the guy remembers this stuff. There's this guy there. And so when the guy comes and says, hey, Joseph, they're calling for you. This is what he does. He's, he, uh, Instead of just rushing out there looking like an unmade bed, someone says, they finally called my number. You look like, whatever. Bible says he cleaned himself up. He said, this is my graduation day. He put on his clothes and says, I'm going to see the Pharaoh. And even if it doesn't turn out the way I was, I'm going to look my best because for whom I represent. The words I like, he says this, and I'm going to close with this thought. He says, it's not me. Paul put it this way, it's no more I, but Christ that lives in me. If you're ready to accept that attachment, it's not me. You're ready to change. You're ready for the things that God has for you. You're ready for a soul experience that will bring you to a place that God's always wanted to take you. Let me show you what it's not me is. The choir is coming forth. We're going to do this. It says, every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord. And our soul knows the truth of this when we have made the choice to make others successful with no guarantee of personal benefit. Listen to me carefully. This is not an exchange program. You owe me one. You'll get yourself in big trouble when you have the expectation that if you do a good deed for someone else, that they owe you something in return. You've missed the whole thing. Because what Jesus did for you, you could never pay him back. Do you hear me? You can never pay him back. Living righteous the rest of your life will never pay Jesus back for what he did for you, because he did for you what nobody else could ever do. So I want you to release your expectations of other people, of what they ought to be and how they should respond and this kind of stuff. Because your soul will really be able to prosper. Our soul knows the truth of this when we have been made, when we have made the choice to make those others successful, that the risk that we take is that we will be hurt or used again. I want to focus in on that one, because this is the reason why some of us have become stagnated in our relationship with the Lord. You've helped people before and they didn't respond, and you've been hurt. And you made yourself a promise, I'm never going to allow myself to be hurt like that again. And what you've done is you've shut down a part of your heart, a part of what God has made you to be, who has given you an assignment to be, I'm never going to be hurt again. I'm never going to allow people to use me on that particular aspect again. I'm done. Love Jesus. Still going to go to church. Still going to read my Bible. But that part of me is closed forever. You need to open that door. Do you hear what I said? Because your soul is stagnating. Your soul has become dormant. Your soul is not being all that you are assigned to be. Bow your heads with me, everybody. It's time for me to close this off. Bow your heads, everybody. Everybody, everybody. There are people under the sound of my voice. A couple of you aren't even believers yet, but others of you are. And you have shut down your life because of misfortunes, because of things that have happened to you, and you've become dormant, not useful, stagnated. Let's just use the term miserable, because you have no purpose any longer. You've allowed an incident or maybe a series of incidents that says, not going down the road, homie, don't do that anymore. I'm done. But you know, you're not done until Jesus says you're done. And it's going to be new life for you, a new assignment for you as you open up your heart for God to renew your spirit. Jesus, David said these words, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. Cast me not away from your presence. But most of all, don't ever take your Holy Spirit from me. Once the Holy Spirit's gone, you're done. I'm going to pray, and at the end of my prayer, there are people that came here today specifically to meet Jesus. And there's others that have come today to get to meet Jesus in a totally different way. And that's to reconnect with him on the level of the usefulness of their soul and taking off all the expectations and putting aside all the hurts, frustrations, betrayals. In the name of Jesus, in the name that's above every other name, Holy Spirit, fall on this place right now. Not with just conviction, Lord God, but with invitation to those who have felt alienated, who feel so far away from you, who feel that like they are so unworthy they couldn't come to you, for those who are angry and embittered because of things that have happened to them. Holy Spirit, I free you up to do your work today. In the name of Jesus. With heads bowed and with eyes closed, I want to get right into your spirit right now. Do not let the devil tell you not to respond today. Because I feel the Holy Spirit is drawing people right now to himself. This altar call is for you. It's not for somebody else, it's for you. As the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now, whether it's for salvation, whether it's for this renewal aspect, lift your hand right now. Do it right now, because Jesus is talking to you right now. In the name of Jesus, lift up high. Leave it up there for a moment. Lift it up high. All over this building, God's doing this work. You can put your hands down. In just a moment, I'm going to invite you to come to this altar. But I want you to come to this altar with the belief and the trust that when you leave here, everything's going to be different. Matter of fact, before you come, in the name of Jesus, I cast out all evil imagination. I cast out all doubt. I cast out all fear. I cast out all intimidation. And when people come and when they return, they'll be different. Everyone stand to your feet right now. Those who lift your hands, don't hesitate. Just make your way down to this altar right now. Come right now in Jesus.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.